The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to a super Saturday of racing. We have good action from Kempton and Warwick over the jumps. There's also jumping from Wetherby and all-weather action at Lingfield as well. 11.45 is the start time on Racing Radio, and you'll be joined by Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Darren Owen. So tune in for all of that right now though. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Hello, Mark. Very well. How are you?
Good, yes. Not too bad. Not too bad at all, in fact. Good racing to look forward to this weekend.
Oh, tremendous.
A nice really? Change from last weekend.
Yeah, quite an improvement on last weekend. But, you know, fair play to Newcastle. And the racing for Lingfield was actually quite decent. But in comparison, this weekend is pretty good. Very good, in fact. And this day at Warwick, one of my favourite days. I used to miss it when I was a wee lad, Mark.
Yes. So,
but... God, it's been years since I've been to Warwick now, but it is an outstanding card.
It is. We're going to look at one of the races at Warwick. We're going to look at the big race there, which is the Classic Chase. It's at 3:35. We'll move on to that shortly. We're also going to look at two races at Kempton. We have their big race, which is the Lanzarote Hurdle, and we also have a bonus there as well because the Tolworth has been moved to Kempton this weekend. So, yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah, very good stuff. I mean, Kempton was a decent little card anyway, obviously, yeah. As you say, with the William Hill Lanzarote Hurdle.
Yes.
But with the addition now of the Tolworth, it makes it a fantastic card. And, well, we're going to see some great horses. I mean, things can normally get a bit quiet in January, can't they? But not this week. I think having had a week off, effectively, last week from some good racing, we're back with a bang.
We certainly are. And before we get there, we'll just have a quick chat. Mm-hmm. No Solwit in the World Hurdle, that's confirmed. Last year's winner, of course. Unfortunate that he's going to miss the race.
It is unfortunate, really, because obviously with Big Bucks coming back, it would have been good to see him take on the horse who sort of held the crown while he sort of was having a little break, shall we say.
Mm.
So that is disappointing. And for me, if they don't run any power now in the World Hurdle, then I'd be very, very, very surprised because they've effectively now got one horse to beat. A horse which... Ruby Walsh knows a lot about.
Yeah.
So it depends how Ruby Walsh feels. If he wants to get Big Bucks beat, if he doesn't ride Big Bucks, that is.
Yeah.
I still think there's a chance that he might.
Well, he might want to set the record. It'd be a record, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. So, I mean, there's a chance that he might ride Big Bucks, but he's going to know everything about him. And obviously that can benefit Annie Power and the Willie Mullins team in terms of tactics and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So, by saying that, I think we all know that probably the way to get Big Bucks is to challenge away from him and hope that he can't get to you. Similar with Vola Levadette, of course, because she might have gone close, but obviously Ruby's pulled him over and he's found a bit more, but it depends whether that can happen.
Yeah, interesting.
And get done on the line. So I'd be very surprised. I mean, there's been a lot of debate. We were talking about it on the radio the other day, and I think now that's doesn't force them, but it makes the decision easier, I think, for them, if they had a hard decision in the first place.
Yes, it's not a bad decision to have to make, I suppose.
No, great decision to make.
Yes.
I'd run her in all three if she was mine.
Sprinter Sacra going to the champion chase, of course, but the fact that there's question marks around his involvement has led to a 50% increase in the entries for the race.
I mean, great.
Yeah, if they all go. I mean, if Sprinter Sacra actually comes out and is declared. And
yeah, I mean, if he bolts up in the game spirit in a couple of weeks at Newbury,
yeah, it might whittle down a little
bit. Then you might only get 7 or 8 on the day. And to be fair, Paul Nichols has said that a lot of them are speculative for him, hinterland, dodging bullets. Because obviously they're both being aimed at the Arkle as things stand. I mean, he's put Alpha off him, which I thought was very interesting.
Mm.
But obviously, if there is no Sprinter Sacra, there's no reason why Alpha off can't give it a go instead of the Ryanair. I'm partially surprised they haven't entered Q card, because I thought that they might run him if they decided not to go for the Gold Cup and there was no Sprinter Sacra, if events turned out like that. But no, I'm glad, I'm pleased there's a big increase in entries, whether it make a difference to the end result. Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? Shouldn't, if he comes back to his very best.
Mm-hmm.
Which, given the examples that have been wheeled out over the last couple of weeks, there's every chance that he may well do.
Okay. Also, no surprise to see Mad Moose has been banned from racing. He's been suspended.
Yes. Bless him.
The monkey.
He is. I mean, part of me thinks, well, I don't really mind that he turns up, because it's quite good fun anyway.
Yeah. And unless you backed him.
Yeah, but people know what to expect, and I'm sure that'll probably be factored into his price as well now, because people know. So whether banning him's a bit harsh, I don't know. But the last horse that was banned in the UK, albeit a flat horse, Spanish Moon, for refusing to go in the stalls, went to France and won a Group 2 and a Group 1. So whether they decide to maybe point to point him, or, you know, I don't see why they couldn't maybe try point to pointing him, or they might just retire him and go show jumping, eventing, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or just leave him in a field if he doesn't want to do anything. Not just leave him, obviously, but, you know, have a nice, quiet retirement living in a field.
Yes. Anything
as
else?
As much as I'd like to see Nigel Twissendavies chasing him with a bat again.
It's always a good sight.
Yeah,
it
is a very good sight.
Anything else got your eyes in the headlines of late?
Not particularly, no. All quiet, really, to be honest, in terms of major issues. I went to Catterick on Thursday, and a very enjoyable afternoon there for the North Yorkshire Grand National, which was good. Terrible fall for Diamond Harry, but he got a great round of applause when he got up and walked back in front of the stand, which was good to see. And well, I backed the winner, so that made it even better still.
It's always nice when you back the winner.
It is.
Right, let's move on, shall we? Saturday's racing. Good racing, as we mentioned, at both Kempton and Warwick. We'll start at Kempton because we'll go in chronological order. And the 135 is the first race we get to. It's the WilliamHill.com Levyboard Tolworth Hurdle, a Grade 1 novices hurdle over 2 miles. It was, of course, supposed to be at Sandown. It's now at Kempton. But the Liquidator was popular then and probably will be again now.
Yeah, very much so. The Tolworth Hurdle's a strange race because when you go back and look to the results, it's either really good or really bad. There's sort of no, doesn't seem to be much in between. I think we might be in a really good year this time around. I remember the best renewal when I was growing up was Monseigneur beat Best Mate and Snowdrop, where Philly was fourth. Monseigneur won the Neptune Hurdle at Cheltenham. Obviously, we know what Best Mate went on to do, and Snowdrop won the Triumph. So it was a run, there's only five runners, so it was a really good race. And I think we've got a good race this year as well, Mark. We'll go through them one by one. First of all, Creepy, the top one. The horse, I like Creepy very much. I do think they're probably only running him here, A, because he unseated halfway through the Challow Hurdle at Newbury and didn't really have much of a race, and they've had an extra week because it's been rescheduled.
Yep.
And I don't really think 2 miles is his trip, but I do like, he's a nice horse. Garde la Victoire, now he's a horse I really like, Garde la Victoire. I've really taken to him. I'm obviously slightly disappointed when he just got touched off by Ballyalton at Cheltenham, but the sort of effort and that he put in, and he was very game, rallied, tries hard, and I think there's more to come from him. But I'm concerned about the way the race will be run, in terms that it'll be run similar to Cheltenham, in the sense that it'll be slowly run, and that didn't suit him, and that's what cost him victory for me at Cheltenham. Jostley Sill was very impressive when he won that maiden Earl at Newbury. He beat 22, well, it was a field of 22, so he beat 21 rivals, including Communicator, who's a decent horse on the flat, showed a very good level of form, and I think he's really interesting for Nicky Henderson. Prince Siegfried, obviously group and listed winner on the flat, coming to hurdles a bit late in life, but he was giving it a really good go to Irving when he fell at Ascot last time out. Royal Boy, he's been a disappointing horse for me, and although he won easily at Ascot over 2 miles 6, the dropping trip doesn't suit me, and B, his overall, I mean, Nicky Henderson said we haven't seen the best of him and all this sort of stuff, but it's a hard race to try and get out the best of him for me. The Liquidator, really nice horse. Him and Garde la Victoire are the two that I like in this race. Unchallenged when he absolutely bolted up at Cheltenham and beat Sea Lord, who showed a very good level of form, albeit Sea Lord probably didn't run up to his best that day at Cheltenham. And David Pipe aired some concerns in the week that he thought that the nature of the track at Kempton wouldn't suit because of this speed stuff. Kempton is not a speed track anymore. Since they relayed it to put the all-weather track in, which is, what, 7 or 8 years ago now, It is not the speed track that it once was. You look at the winners of the King George and all the other big races.
Proper stayers.
They're stayers that win it. Yeah. I mean, Long Run, he's a good plodder, but he's a plodder, and he outstayed them to win. And the same with Sylvaniaco in this year's King George. It's not a speed-favouring track in the way it once was.
Yeah.
And on very soft ground, I don't think it makes that much difference anyway, to be fair. A new part, so William Mullins and Ruby Walsh, obviously going to be feared and obviously going to be fairly popular in the market. But you know, William Mullins has won a couple of races with bringing over his rivals, but he hasn't had all that much success, to be fair.
Mm.
This is a horse whose form last season wasn't up to a great deal. He does seem to improve this year, but for me, he still needs to improve again to win this because I think we know how good he is, roughly, where the others have got lots of potential improvement, and we don't know how much.
Okay. Do you think it's significant that Upazo has been taken out of a couple of races in Ireland in the last week or so, and the fact that Ruby Walsh has gone to Kempton to ride him rather than going to Warwick, where William Williams has horses as well?
Well, I mean, I suppose obviously there is the significance there that he's gone to Kempton to ride, and that is very much a positive if you are in the Upazo for camp. In terms of him running his other horses against them, I think he's just trying to do that less. Because he's got so many good horses, yeah. He just can't keep running them against each other all the time in Ireland. Especially if you were the owner, because I'd start getting a bit annoyed, to be honest, thinking, well, every week we're going to get beat by another one of the stable companions, so at least go and try something different and see how we get on. But I do think he'll get beat.
Okay. Who are you siding with to win then, just to summarise?
I'm going to side with the Liquidator.
Yeah.
I think in the race on Saturday, but in the long term, and the horse I like most in the race as a profile is Garde la Victoire. So between those two, but I think on this day I'll just sign with the Liquidator.
Okay. The 240 at Kempton is the next race we're going to look at. The William Hill Lanzarote Hurdle, a big listed handicap over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. 13 of them in the lineup, and we have betting on site already as well, so you can have a bet if you like. Junction 14 is the 5-1 market leader. Safir de Roux is 6-1. Home Run 7s with If in Doubt and River Maid. It's in 10s for Caliph Aramis. Fox Cub is 11-1 with Like Minded and Spirit of Shankly, and then 16-1 barring those. Junction 14 at the top of the betting, what do you make of that?
It was trained by Emma Lavelle and the man of Richard Johnson. Only a 5-year-old, obviously, so he's just turned from being a 4-year-old, this horse. He's very lightly raced. He's only had four runs in his career and just 16 days since his most recent run, Junction 14. And obviously, he's won his last two starts, this horse. Really nice horse. I can see why he's favourite, obviously having won at Kempton on Boxing Day when he won a handicap hurdle after winning a novice event at Fontwell. Very impressive off a mark of 1-2-1 there. Races on Saturday, though, off 1-3-7. That's £16 hike from Boxing Day and into a totally different type of race as well as a result. He's basically gone from sort of class 4 to class 1 in one fell swoop. And whilst undoubtedly he might have the potential and the ability to sort of counter that massive increase, it's going to be hard for him, I think, in terms of being a better race. And their hand's been forced. They've got no choice but to run in a race like this now because of that rise. If it had been put up to 1-3-5, I think he might have ran in a slightly lower grade affair, sort of 140, 145, just to bring him along, and they've been forced to do it. But I can see why he's at the top of the market, and obviously being a course and distance winner, very much a positive. Of the others in the market, Safir de Roux for Paul Nicholls, Harry Derham takes the ride. One last time out, but the fact that Harry Derham's on is not so much a negative, but it, for me, I think it suggests that Paul Nicholls thinks he might be now slightly high in the handicap. He won a race which is a bit of a slog at Sandown when he won the Per Temps qualifier there at the start of December. And I think, personally, he might be better again with a little bit more of a trip than what he gets at Kempton. And he's vulnerable to improvers like Junction 14, for example. The one I actually like is, I'm surprised as we record this, Mark, is 11-1 with us at William Hill, Spirit of Shankly, who's trained by Charlie Longston and the mount of Noel Feely. He won 3 starts ago at Market Raisin, I believe. He got beat by Royal Regatta at Aintree, and he obviously got beaten a very good race at Cheltenham on New Year's Day, but I think that's, you know, it's a good race, but I don't think Royal Regatta showed his best form, put it that way. However, the next race at Haydock was more important. Spirit of Shankly won at the end of November. Beat Urban Him, who's come out and won since at Haydock, and Classic Move, who's come out and won since as well for Donald McCain. And he was quite well beaten in third. He won at Bangor over the Christmas period. So the form's good. He's only been nudged up £3 for that, despite the fact the next two horses have come out and won. And I think him and Junction 14, when you look at them, quite similar profiles, lightly raced, have won a couple of good races. Yet one's favourite and one's 11-1. I think I'm going to go with Spirit of Shankly. Okay. I think at a better price, good solid form, and as I say, similar profile, but much better value.
Yeah, Spirit of Shankly then. A bit of value in the William Hill Lanzarote Hurdle. And we move to Warwick for the final race that we're going to look at. This is the Classic Chase, a Grade 3 handicap over 3 miles, over 3 miles and 5 furlongs. We also have betting on site for this one as well. Vespa Bell, the 11-2 market leader. Boy from Nowhere, 13-2. Cheers for that. Boy from Nowhere, 13-2. Shotgun Paddy, 7s. Lockbar, 11s. Carruthers is 12s with Emperor's Choice and Hey Big Spender. It's then 14-1 for Master Overseer, Noble Legend and Royal Knight and Saffron de Cot, in fact. and same difference on Victor Serenade, and then 16-1 barring those. So nice open race. And a race that you've watched for many a year, Stephen. So yeah. Who wins this year's renewal?
Well, it's a very tricky little race, actually, I have to say. I mean, there's few horses that I don't like, and the shortlist is not very long, I have to say.
I see, so, as you're crossing out half of the field there.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we'll start with ones at the top of the market. Vesper Bell, Boy From Nowhere, and Shotgun Paddy. Vesper Bell, obviously, again, probably favourite just because of his form that he showed for Willie Mullins last year. Obviously trained by Willie Mullins for a start, but the form that he showed last year was half decent when he was second to Goon Yeller at the Punchestown Festival over 3.6 miles, confirming that he stays. Was well backed in the build up to the Beecher Chase, only to fall at the first, so you can't really take a lot out of that, but still lightly raced. He's only 8 years of age and I think very solid market leader, to be honest. I've got nothing against him at all. Shotgun Paddy's very interesting, has run in a couple of very good novice chases, well beaten at Haydock behind Black Thunder, but closed that form right down on Black Thunder when getting a bit more of a stamina test at Lingfield and an extra furlong, but Lingfield and Haydock different tests anyway. On Black Thunder, it's got a rating of 146, which I think is a bit harsh maybe going into handicaps for the first time, but again falls into the category of Emma Lavelle's Junction 14 in the sense that lightly raced over fences, only had a couple of starts, and there definitely could be more to come, and he could offset the handicap mark with his potential. And the other one at the top of the market, Boy From Nowhere, quite similar as well. Young, lightly raced over fences, just three of them so far. Improved massively for the step-up in trip to win the Southern National at Farmwell in November. But this is a harder race, and I think he's going to find it more difficult. And of the three at the top of the market, he's the one that I like the least. Okay. Noble Legend battled on well at Wetherby. He's always shaped as though he'd be a really strong stayer, although the only time he's gone over them further than 3 miles, he got stuffed at Haydock in November. But he bounced back to form at Wetherby. Obviously got over a mile further to cover than when he won back at Wetherby over Christmas. So just concerns about his stamina, but he's a decent horse, and I think he's got the ability to win. And then we get to a couple of the old boys towards the top then. Hey Big Spender and Master Overseer. Hey Big Spender won this race off a £9 higher mark 2 years ago, having ran in the Welsh National 2 weeks before, and obviously comes here having ran in the Welsh National 2 weeks ago. So provided that he comes here with no ill effects, and he's proved that he can do it before, wouldn't surprise me if he ran a good race in what's an easier race than the one he won, and he's not carrying top weight in the way he was then. And Master Overseer is in the same ownership for David Pipe. Three times this horse has won first time out in his career, and he's also finished second on one. And well, the one that he finished second, it was over 3 miles, five at Plumpton on heavy ground. So he stays, obviously won the Midlands National as well, so no problem with the trip, no problem with the ground, and I think those two old boys will both run well, the 11-year-olds. If you push me for a selection, I'll probably just side with Shotgun Paddy, I think. As I say, I've got concerns about that handicap mark, but he improved for a stiffer test last time, massively on his Haydock form. Ground should be fine, and I think Emma Lavelle will win a big race on Saturday, but it won't be the Lanzarote. I think it might be this.
Okay, so Shotgun Paddy currently 7-1 with us. Hey Big Spender is 12, so another one that got a decent mention, and Master Overseer 14. So have a play around with those, see if you can find the winner in there. Let's have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind.
Quick summary, Mark. In the Tolworth Hurdle at Kempton, I'm going to side with the Liquidator to win that one. In the Lanzarote Hurdle at Kempton, it's with Spirit of Shankly. And in the Classic Chase at Warwick, I'm siding with Shotgun Paddy.
Very good. Should be a good day's racing. Thank you very much, Stephen.
Outstanding. Thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 11:45 a.m. Gary Capewell, Andy Holding and Darren Owen will be your team in the studio. Kempton, Warwick, Lingfield and Wetherby are the four meetings. So tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.